What is up, Cycling Oklahoma? Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode. This one is a local Oklahoma like superstar. You are going to love this episode. I have been wanting to have Dez on here for a long time. She has been requested by several people, and I was super pumped to sit down and talk to her. So this one's awesome, and it's a little long. It's definitely longer than the past few, but once you realize how many amazing accomplishments this woman has in her life and how much she has dominated the bicycle for years, you will be okay with a little bit longer episode. Dez, if you've ever met her, is the most happy, smiliest person you'll ever run across, you'll ever see in life and on the bike. She's an absolute joy, and I just can't say enough great things about her. We originally crossed paths years ago in multisport, and then from there, you know, we've just been like friends in the riding world quite often, and I've just always known Dez on the bike. I know she's a beast. I know she kicks my butt on the mountain bike, and she has for years, but I didn't know all of the amazing road bike accomplishments that she has. I know Dez from the mountain biking and the gravel world, but Dez was a bad mofo on the road bike before all this started. You're going to love this episode. It's really, really good. It's really, really fun. We laughed a lot. She had me teared up. She was crying. Like, it's a good one. So thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy. I don't want to make this episode any longer, but I greatly appreciate you listening. Please share this episode. Please subscribe, leave reviews, all the things that you hear on all the other episodes and all the other podcasts trying to beef up their stuff. But hopefully we have some really fun race recap episodes coming. I was not able to pull off what I wanted to at Rule of Three, but we have some things in the works trying to pull it together. Just, you know, you get what you pay for here. So sorry if you don't like it. Thank you so much if you do. Give me some ideas. Hopefully we can continue to make this thing better and better. But please subscribe and let me know if you have some ideas of who needs and wants to be on this podcast. So thanks again. I hope you enjoy this one. And here is the amazing single speed Dez. Yeah, it won't be a problem at all. So okay. Are you ready to start rolling?
Yes.
All right. Dez, super pumped about this one. Not only am I excited to hear your story, but we've had people reach out and say, hey, I want to hear Dez's story. And I think she would be a great guest on the podcast. So I'm super excited to have you on here. I've known you, gosh, at this point, I've been doing multi-sport stuff. It's been, gosh, maybe 15 or so-ish years ago. And you were doing multi-sport and stuff then, or in the scene and around. And so I have always, we've been strong acquaintances and friends for all of those years. But we've never sat down and had a like legit serious conversation in any way, shape, or form. No. It's always been at a race or in a bike shop or just seeing each other out. So I'm excited to hear your story. And when okay. You told me how long you've been doing this stuff, now I'm really excited to hear your story. So,
yes.
For people that don't know you, I want us to start back at the beginning.
Okay. Probably a lot of people that'll listen to this weren't even born then, but okay. That's okay.
We've discovered at least I was born.
So that, yes, you were.
I was a little guy, but I was born.
Yes.
So we're good there.
Okay.
So you had briefly told me before we got started, like how you got into any of this craziness, but I feel like there's maybe something a little before that. So how did you get into either cycling or endurance sports? Because I don't know if endurance sports started before the cycling did.
Okay.
Well, introduce yourself first.
Okay. People need name is Desiree Margoliano, known on some of the Instagram as Single Speed Dez, which I really like that. a lot of people call me Dez. Mm-hmm. Desi, I'm not a real fan of, okay. But I'll take Dez or Desiree.
Okay. Got it. And are you from here in Oklahoma?
I was born in Reno, Nevada. Okay. Lived in Purcell, Oklahoma for many years. And then when I was a young child, I really wanted to be a vet. Mm. So I worked on horse farms up in Norman for many years and delivered horse babies. Was very proud of what I did. And then life changed and moved on. And then I went to school at OU at the College of Dentistry, paid my way through school. And a lot of my cycling, during my cycling career, I was actually working part-time cycling, going to school.
Gotcha.
Paying my way through school.
And so now your day job is?
I am a registered dental hygienist at the Oklahoma College of Dentistry. Okay. I've been there for 20 years and I can retire in two.
So are you going to?
I'm going to probably retire and then go back part-time because I've got patients in my life that I've been seeing for 20-something years. And they're in their 70s or in their 80s.
Recently you want to stay
lost,
with them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Recently lost one of my patients who was 100 years old.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah. So,
and they still had their teeth?
They still had their teeth.
Dang.
Well, yes.
I don't know if that says about your care, but well, that's impressive.
I love what I do. And to me, if you – it's not a job. If you know, to me, if you never work a day in your life, it's – That's what I do.
It.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's not a job. Because,
interesting.
Yes.
So when you go back part-time, you're going to take care of these patients.
I'm hoping I can still stay at the College of Dentistry, but I might do some volunteer work because I work at Crossings and do volunteer work at Crossings Community mm-hmm. Church and work there. And then I go to Peru once a year.
I was going to say, you ever gone abroad and done that?
I go to Peru once a year with St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, and I do volunteer work there.
Is that so cool
and
rewarding?
It. When you go into a third world country and see what they have and what they don't have, mm-hmm. you really appreciate what you have here in America.
I bet.
And yeah, I just, they are so grateful.
Do you go back to the same village every time?
Every year I go back to Pura, Peru, and I spend a week cleaning teeth for the poor. And I use my leave to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's so cool.
It means a lot to me.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, well, I'm already learning.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
yes, I love what I do.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So let's get back into why we came here today.
Why
we came here. So way back in the day.
When I was a poor. No. Uh-huh.
Back when the bicycle was invented, it was
right
shortly before you started.
So I'm thinking around, we're going to go back to around 1984.
Okay.
I started teaching aerobics at, it was called...
back in the 80s.
It wasn't AmeriFit, but it was International Fitness.
Okay.
And it was on 89th and Shields.
Did you wear the headband and have the whole unitard and
the
things?
Oh, yeah. I did. I didn't wear the G-string, though. Some girls wore the G's, but I didn't. So I started doing aerobics. And a month later, this girl that was, I was attending her class, she said, you need to start teaching aerobics. And I was like, okay, because I had this bubbly personality of smiling, giggling, laughing in the classes. So she handed me this form and said, this is what you do during aerobics. So I started teaching aerobics in 1985.
Okay.
And at that time, I had two guys in my class named, everyone will remember him, Don Garrett.
Ah, really?
Don Garrett and Roy Noble were two men that were in that class. And they would come to my aerobics class and they told me, they said, hey, you need to start cycling. I was like, really? I said, oh, yeah, you'd be a great cyclist. And the Redbud Classic's coming up. You need to get a bike and start riding the Redbud Classic. Redbud Classic was around
fresh. Yeah.
Very fresh. What was the first year that they had the Redbud Classic? I did it.
That's awesome.
That first year, the inaugural Redbud Classic cycling.
That's crazy. And the fun fact about Don, when I had Ellis Endurance Lab, his daughter was my landlord. She owned the building.
Mm-hmm. Really?
She came in one day and she's like, oh, a triathlon bike. My dad did triathlons. I was like, okay, yeah. So I was just talking to her, carry on conversation.
Yeah.
She's like, Don Garrett, do you know him? I'm like, yeah, he's a legend. He's the OG in the cycling or in the triathlon community in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she's like, oh, yeah, I grew up going to Kona and all that stuff. And so I was like, it was small world, but yeah, crazy.
Yes. And then the funny thing is that I actually bought, when I started doing triathlons, I actually bought Don Garrett's wetsuit, and he reminded me and let me know that if you buy this wetsuit, you realize that people pee in their wetsuits.
You're like, well, it washes out. And if you've been around triathlon, they pee on everything else too. Which is why all mechanics hate triathlon bikes.
You notice how all the triathletes go out to the water and they get real calm and quiet, and you know what they're doing.
Everybody's just having a little bit of alone time. And then if the ride's long enough, give them some space because it's not sweat.
So I had Don Garrett's wetsuit.
Oh, good for you, maybe ish. I don't know. Goodness.
So I started. I bought a Raleigh Technium aluminum was my first bike, and I bought it from Al's Bicycles.
Nice.
Yeah, I went into the Al's Bicycles on 89th, and bought my first bike from Al's.
Nice.
And it was when we had the toe straps.
I do.
So did my Redbud Classic.
Did you just instantly fall in love with the bike, or was it you just liked moving and being active and
working
out. I like
moving and being active and being around the people that I was around at that time. Yeah, they were all moving and being active.
Gotcha. And so that's what brought you, that's what made you fall in love with the endurance thing at first.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you just like pick up the bike and just continue to do it as just like fitness and fun?
I did. And it wasn't about races then because I didn't know anything about races. I just knew that there were what we call the t-shirt rides. And so just started riding. I got involved with the first bicycle. I found out that there was a team that raced out at Lake Draper, and they were called the East Side Road Team.
Okay.
And I got my first experience of what a meet ride was. You know how an F Your Buddy ride is?
Same
well,
thing.
Back then, they were called meet rides.
Okay.
And I show up, and this group of riders, and there were talented riders, no doubt, a bunch of men. You sprint out of the parking lot. You do, and if you can stay with them, you can. If you flat, if you're dropped.
Too bad.
Too bad.
It's one way to be welcome to the world.
I know. Oh, it's like, wow, these are, and that was called meat rides back then.
Okay. Man. So your first one, did you stay on?
No. Are you kidding?
Well, and
I was dropped in the parking lot.
And if you didn't know where you were going back then, you're just like on your own.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, being on the east side, if you're familiar with the east side riding, it's a lot of hills.
Yeah.
So they had a set course that they did, and they came back to the parking lot, and we hung out. But that was the first real team that I actually got involved with was the East Side Road Team.
Okay, nice.
And we did some ride. I went to Hotter Than Hell, first years of Hotter Than Hell, where there were 12,000 riders.
Yep.
It didn't start at the new place where everyone starts now. It actually started out at the stadium, which is west of Wichita Falls.
Okay.
So it was, that's where we started. And the East Side Road Team was the type of group that didn't want to start with the group. So we would all meet at the Brahms parking lot. And no, we paid our entries. But we would jump in.
Gotcha. Sounds like these guys just kind of did whatever they wanted.
Exactly. They
good
were the team.
Fit.
Yeah, I was a good fit with them.
Were you the only female?
Yes, I actually was. And then another one, Mary Trammell, came in later on. But yeah, it was, you're talking 1985.
Yeah.
You're talking where women were not really big into the athletics parts.
Right.
It was a very small circle of women that did racing back
you've
then.
You've seen, just on that front alone, you've seen a massive change.
Yes.
And really more so recently.
Yes.
Than the first 40 years to this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a man's world back then.
And it really has been all the way up until in the past handful of years where it's really starting to, Oklahoma City starting to see a change.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think if there was one thing that I could think about that I wish I could have had back then, but you can't change that,
right,
is more women riding.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a time where my life, if you're a cyclist back then, if you're a woman cyclist back then, it was your life. You had blinders of riding. You didn't go to the movies. You didn't go socialize. You didn't do all these things. If you wanted to be a competitive rider back then, that was your life.
Mm.
And that I was single. I didn't have children. So I had that opportunities to
right.
do that.
Right. So once you kind of met this group of riders, were you like, you were all in? Full blinders on, like full type A?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I had this life of cycling.
Were you naturally just good at it?
You know,
because you're really good at it.
I don't know why I was, Ryan, because I was not an athlete growing up in high school. I was horses, I was barrel racer, all that stuff. So I don't know why I had what I had.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I know about my heart is that once through the years I'll find out that I had a low my heart rate,
mm-hmm.
and some people talk about how their heart rates are at 200,
mm-hmm.
190, 200, 210.
Mm-hmm.
The highest I ever saw my heart rate was 168.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
So right now, when I get into the zone of 145 to 150 at my age,
you're
being 60
pegged.
Right now, I'm at that max.
Yeah.
So I've always had this lower heart rate. And then when I went in to have some surgery on my shoulder, when I had a shoulder injury, they did some heart work and they realized that I have an enlarged heart, but it's not an enlarged heart because of it's a bad heart.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a big heart. So I pump in more volume of blood. And with more volume of blood, My heart rate stays lower. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, I mean,
people are just are made for certain things. It just depends if they ever find those things.
Yeah.
And so you seems like you found your thing.
I found my thing. And people will say, you can't get your heart rate up past 180, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like Kim Erdos, I was racing with her, her heart rate was like almost to 200, close to over 200. And I'm, no, I can't get that high.
Yeah. See, my brother, he's older than me. And his heart rate's really high like that. Like, so for him, I mean, we're riding along. He'll be in the 180s and he's talking like this. And I'm at 165 about to fall off my bike. But Phil Carlson was the same as you. We would ride and he would be like at 140.
Okay.
And he would just be, and I'm like, dude, I'm at like 175. What is going on? And he's like, yeah, I'm pushing. I mean, but it's just weird. Everybody has their, but Phil was really good. Like that diesel engine.
He was.
Yeah.
I've ridden with him and so we have that lower heart rate, but we're pumping in more blood.
Interesting. So how long after these t-shirt rides did you say, there's more to this world that I need to check out?
Well, I got an opportunity. There was a ride called the Bike Lion, and it was in, I'm thinking it was about 1986 or 87, around that time. And it was a race that was out at Rose State College, and it was put on by the Lions Club, and it's called the Bike Lion. Went out there to ride it, and during the ride, I had the opportunity to meet Peter and Kim Erdos.
Okay.
And rode with them for a while during the ride, and Peter was just pumped to see other women out there so I could ride with Kim. And we got to the finish line and we talked, and Peter's like, you need to start racing. You've got some opportunity. And you know Peter. And so Peter Erdos really sparked me to maybe starting actually USCF cycling.
Interesting. Racing. Interesting.
And at that time I was single. So Peter and Kim drugged me to so many races.
That's funny.
So, I mean, they took me to New Mexico. They took me to Iowa, to the Memorial Day weekend crits. Everywhere I went, you know, Peter and Kim, I was in the back seat, and they just drug me everywhere.
You're like their adopted kid.
I was their adopted child, yes. And
so did Peter help you, like, understand, like, the tactics of racing and how racing works? Because, I mean, I don't know Peter's whole story of like how he got started stuff, but everybody I've ever talked to, they all have stories of Peter and racing. So it sounds like he's been like legit hardcore racing forever.
He has. So, I mean, he started out, he's a weightlifter. He was a bodybuilder. So can you imagine Peter being this huge pumped up guy to a cyclist?
Huh. Yes. He's still beefy for an old guy. For sure. Like when you see, I mean, he doesn't look like your stereotypical cyclist.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still got some meat on him. Yeah.
But he was a past bodybuilder and then went to cycling.
So did they kind of help coach you into this new world of like how it all works?
Yes.
Because there's so much to it.
There is. And they drug me to a lot of crits, which crits were something that I never really understood. And the reason why is because I'm realizing, why did I not do well in crits? I think it was because there's pack riding, so many people in this crit. Maybe I got claustrophobic and too many people.
It's scary.
It is.
It's super scary.
On a crit, either I was in the front and I got dropped because I was pulling too much, or I was off the back and I got dropped because I was pulling too much.
The true definition of off the front, off the back.
And Steve and Kate told me, he said, if you can hang in to the first five laps, just hang in, sit in there for the first five laps. You always know that those first five laps are always going to be the hardest, and then it settles down. Well, sometimes I'd make it past those five laps, and then sometimes, boom, I was off the back.
Yeah.
But I'd still had the opportunity to see some really cool races. Snake Alley in Iowa is one of the most famous crits
that's cool.
You can ever do, because it has, I think it's 8 switchbacks.
Oh my gosh.
And it's an incredible crit that they still have. Mm. And it's in, and so there's the three races in Memorial Day weekend that if you're a crit rider, you got to go do.
Okay.
They've been there forever.
So you started legit, your career started in crit racing.
Yes. Crits.
Which is interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
And did I do well? No. But the road racing, me and Kim and Peter took me to some, so we went to Master Nationals. Then they took me to some other events.
How quickly did you start seeing some success?
Oh, I'm thinking more, I did, one of my best accolades in road was Tour of the Gila.
Oh, that's a big race.
And it was the year of, well, the year before that, actually the 89er stage race, that was in 1995, and that was the year of the bombing. So there were a lot of pro women teams here that weekend. It was Saturn. There was a lot of older teams that no one knew about. And all the best of the best women were there. Well, they had the 89er stage race, which was down in Norman by Freddie Karcher. And Freddie Karcher put that race on for many, many years. That year, because it was in a, there were Olympic trials was coming up. So people who qualified for Olympic trials was going to go to the Olympics in 1996.
They were here racing?
They were here racing. So that was like an Olympic trial. Well, it was to get to accolade points in order to make it to the Olympic trials.
Cool.
So the best of the best was here. I was still riding for the OKC Velo Club in the pink, that beautiful pink jersey. And the bombing had happened that weekend.
Oh, wow.
So that weekend or the weekend before, because I'm trying to, it was in April. And I remember all the riders were wearing black ribbons to for to think about the bombing. And so there was, it was just a road race only, and I was in the best of the best, smiling. I couldn't believe I'm next to Jeannie Golay. I'm next to all these fabulous women. And it was a race that went out east towards towards Pink and Tecumseh.
Oh, super hilly.
And then I was able actually to finish with them.
Wow.
Finished. I mean, but what they were doing is they were going easy down the hills and then they were jamming the uphills. So I just, I made friends on that ride. I'm talking like, hey, you're Jeannie Golay. You're blah, blah, blah. And they're like,
I'm like, listen, lady, we're here to work.
And, you're and
like,
I'm here to have fun.
That does not surprise me whatsoever. Not even a little bit.
So there's actually a picture of me on the finish because it finished over by the Lloyd Noble Center was where the finish line was. And there's a picture of me with a group of girls. And Kim Erdos is just like, she's dying. You can see in her face. She's like, ah, she's dying. And I'm just smiling.
Oh, my gosh. That's a perfect example of you. Yep, that sums it up.
Like, this is, I'm finishing with a group of elite riders.
That's awesome.
So that was a good one. And then, of course, Tour de Gila was a really awesome race for me. It was a stage race, so it was 3 days. It was a time trial for the women at that time. It was a time trial and two road races and a crit. And I was doing really well. I was in the top five. And then when we got to the crit, the girl that was winning, she had a flat the last three laps. And you know what happens when the last three laps?
That sucks.
So I was actually able to get the overall. After that one, I was the overall leader.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, I'm the overall leader for the Tour for the Tour of Gila.
Holy cow.
So we had one more road race, one more race left, one more stage. And I talked to this gal, and she was from UC Davis. And she said, look, I know you're since she was so far behind in time, she didn't think there's an opportunity for her to win this because of the time that she was a lot, that she had lost. She said, look, I want to stay with you, but I want to know if you will give me the stage win and you'll win overall. Because the stage win would look good for her because she worked, she rode for UC Davis. And I said, sure. I mean, I've never worked a deal with someone. And this is pretty cool that I had this girl that was had the opportunity. She wanted to work with me. I said, sure. You know, I'm like, why does she think I'm going to win this thing overall? I don't know. But okay, I'll take it. I said, sure. So we wound up, her and I, in this last race, this last stage. We got away. It was her and I. And we're working together. And then I learned what bonking was.
Oh, no.
So I'm bonking, and I have no clue what it is because I didn't know what it was. And
oh my
she
gosh.
Keeps waiting for me on the climbs. We get to the top of the climb. She would wait for me. And then I realized I'm not going to be able to stay with her. And I told her, I said, go. Just go. It's okay. But she said, okay. And so she took off. And lo and behold, I won that overall GC by 3 seconds.
No way. Oh my gosh. Holy cow.
So she finished before she finished. She won the stage, but I won the overall GC.
It worked out perfect for everybody.
It did.
But she must have been crushed.
Yes. I mean, she really, and I was okay with it because I was grateful that she stayed with me, but I finally said, you just need to go. Do your thing.
Oh my gosh.
So that, yeah, you learn. I mean,
so you were at like a super top level in the road.
I felt that way.
Well, if you're winning that race, that's like, I mean, there's really not much around that's bigger than that in this part of the country.
Yeah.
Like at all.
And then Hotter Than Hell was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
At that was one more I'd like to share because at that time, I was racing with Kim Erdos, and we did, it was a 3-day stage race then. Hotter Than Hell was 3 days. It was a crit, a road race, and a time trial.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yes. Okay. Years ago. That's years ago. And there was a, they had a couple sprint zones for the women, and one of them was in Burke Burnett, Texas. Yeah. And it was a $250 sprint. And I had been studying what we called back then, they were called the race Bible. Yep. And I still say it, and people are like looking at me like, what's a race Bible? But the race Bible is what you read prior to an event. And I was learning where the hot zones were. And we're getting close to Burke Burnett, and all the girls just doing their ride. And I'm like, see ya. Yeah. And I sprinted off, and I won this $250 preem.
You're rich.
And all these girls, they come up to me, and they go, what was that? And I said, well, there's preems. Did you not know there were hot zones?
Oh, my gosh.
And so I won this hot zone. Uh-huh. And then when they found out about the next hot zone, so, well, I didn't win those.
Yeah, you should. I don't know. I just felt like stretching my legs. Thanks, ladies. Yeah.
But at the end of that race, Kim had done really well overall. And so at the end of the race, we had racked up a lot of money that weekend. And Kim Erdos hands me this check, or hands me cash for half. We pulled the money. And back then, you, when you ride with a team, you split the money. And so when it's just two of us.
It's awesome.
So she gives me $525 for that weekend.
You're like, this is the greatest thing ever. I just rode my bike around and made $500.
Yeah. That's amazing. She's like, we split everything even. And okay. I was like, well, thank you, Kim. So it's really generous of her. And Kim Erdos wind up going on and racing for some professional teams. It was amazing. Her and Kim Pettit. If everybody remembers the name Kim Pettit.
I don't know Kim Pettit.
She's in Tulsa, but both Kims became.
So the Erdoses have been a massive part of your journey.
Very much.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Very much kudos to those two people who got me into this craziness.
Golly. Okay. So we're up through the mid 90s. You're dominating the road and kicking butt.
Yeah.
Well, then what happens? Because there's so many chapters to your story.
There's so many chapters.
Yeah. Which is, that's why I think this episode's going to hit for so many people, because everybody's going to be like, oh, well, I've done that. Yeah. Because you have you've literally done pretty much everything in endurance sports.
Go on to trail running. Okay. I actually did I started 50K trail runs.
So, wait, hold on. Yeah. So you went from like, hey, I just got a bike, to dominating road riding. And then you're like, I'm just going to jump into 50K trail runs.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
I just thought something new, and well, trail running was real big.
Most people start with
then.
Like, oh, there's a local 5K. Not, there's a 50K trail run.
Well, there was Brookhaven Trail Run that I started.
Oh, gosh. Because for people that don't run, there's a massive difference between road running and trail running. Massive difference as far as the energy expenditure.
And I enjoyed the trail running more because I felt like it's not a constant pounding of the same muscle groups. With trail running, you're using everything. You're using core, you're using legs.
It's much more engaging.
And it's pretty, and all the feed zones were a buffet of food. This was before COVID, so I mean, you could grab, you know, handfuls of Oreos, handfuls of aspirin, ibuprofen.
And that's such a crazy twist of environments, from crit and road racing at a top level to trail runners.
Yeah.
100% opposite end of the spectrum of people.
Yes.
In every way.
A new circle of friends.
Yeah, in every possible way. So what made you decide to look at trail running? I mean, that's a interesting shift.
There was some groups in the cycling community that actually was doing running too.
Gotcha.
So I kind of meandered over to that type of environment and wanted to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
I liked staying, I wouldn't say fresh, but I liked doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kept me from being really seriously injured, other than crashes that I had on my road bike. Right. And
I would say the
bike.
Same for me. Like, I just kind of jump in and do a little of all the things. And I've never really, I've had one overuse injury that I battled for a while, but like, not compared to a lot of my other friends who have major overuse injuries.
Exactly.
Constant.
So I agree with that, because once you're doing different disciplines,
agree.
You're not going to get yourself to that overuse injury, and also a mental injury.
Yeah.
burnout is mm-hmm. an awful thing to have.
Yeah.
And when you have it, it's hard to, you get down into that rabbit hole. It's hard to get back up. So yeah. it was nice to do something fresh and new.
So you started trail running in the late 90s, mid 90s?
Yeah. I really, there was a lot of trail running in Texas. So I went down and did Sunmark Texas Trail Endurance Run. It was a really beautiful run. It was down in Houston.
Oh.
It's Sam Houston State Park.
Please tell me that was in the wintertime.
No.
Oh.
No, most trail runs, the longer runs were in the fall.
Okay.
So it was a little cooler.
Okay.
Yeah, they staged their races around mm-hmm. in the fall or okay. early spring.
Gotcha.
And I wanted to do that race because I love horses. Mm. And the top five got this bronze horse statue. And at that time... I'm thinking of some people that would come back with their little bronze statues, and I really wanted to win a bronze statue. So I worked really hard, ran with Jim Smith, and let's see, who else? Brett Scholler was a big trail runner then. Do you remember Brett Scholler?
I do remember Brett.
And Brett, I did some trail runs with Brett Scholler, okay. and so I was unable to. I placed top five there, and I won my horse.
Do you still have the horse?
I have a bronze horse.
Good for you.
I just wanted to win the horse.
That should go on the front of your van.
The bronze horse?
Yeah.
Like a Mercedes, it should be a bronze horse.
It should be on the hood. Uh-huh. Were you continuing to ride while you were running, or was it like a cross-training piece, or was it just like, I put the bike up and I'm just a runner?
Yes, at that time I put the bike up and I was just strictly trail running.
Gotcha. What distance did you love in the trail?
More than anything, it was the longer distance. Okay. It was there was that Paladura had a great trail run.
They still remember have
that?
One.
Do they? Uh-huh. Wow.
And I think it's in October.
Uh-huh.
It's in October, yeah.
Yeah. So they had a 50K, a 50 mm-hmm. mile, and then they had, I think, a 15K or something like that,
yep,
or
I 20K. Still have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So did some trail running up Paladura and loved it.
It's
really
a beautiful area.
It is, isn't it? For mountain biking too.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So got a chance to do some trail running there. So most of my trail running was in Texas.
Okay.
There was Lake McMurtry had trail runs. Mm-hmm. But most of the trail races were really big in Texas.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then how long did you stay trail running?
Boy, that was maybe 2 or 3 years.
Okay. How did what's next? Did you find your way back to the bike?
Actually, I got into triathlons.
There you go. All the cyclists just went fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. I knew we were going to talk about this crap.
I was,
and that's how we met. So this would have been, you would have been early 2000s when you got into triathlon?
Yes, because Silverman.
Oh,
Silverman. Yeah. There was a breakfast club that we met for breakfast once a week, and everyone was talking about this famous new iron distance. You know, and you can't say Iron Man.
I gotta say, look at you.
I mean, I'm being politically correct here.
You have been washed. You're so PC. For people that are not in the,
please explain
and
it,
and not in the red man world more than anything else.
Yeah.
And you can correct me on my history of this a little bit, but Red Man was the local multi-sport race that was a 70.3 and a full 140.6.
Yes,
they Red Man. It was a local grassroots, amazing event. It was absolutely wonderful. Put on by athletes, for the athletes. Everything about it was amazing. Ironman wanted to purchase it at one point.
Yes.
And then, but they also, and that was never going to happen under Dave's
Thank
watch.
You, Dave Wood.
Thank you, Dave
we
Wood.
We love you, Dave Wood.
And so when that wasn't going to happen, Ironman started sending letters. We'll leave them at letters saying, hey, you can't use certain phrasing and certain That's words right. and certain numbers. And this went on for my understanding, what, maybe 2 or 3 years. We don't say Ironman event. We say a full distance triathlon mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. you're on the inside of that situation. So,
yeah.
Yay, Ironman.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yay, Ironman.
Mm-hmm. I have multiple opinions on that. So, yeah, let's fast forward. So, you got into Silverman. Let's explain that event, because that is a wild race.
So, we were at the breakfast club and we were eating breakfast, and one of the guys said, hey, there's this race called the Silverman and it's an iron distance in Nevada. And I'm like, well, I was born in Reno, so so let's start training for mm-hmm. an iron distance triathlon. And I had bought a Steve Schlegel had gotten me into a
but
Cervelo.
This wasn't just a full distance, like, let's be clear about that. This race was not just like, oh, doing the Red Man full or the Tulsa full that just happened. Silver Man was a whole different beast. So I'm not shocked that you were drawn to that. But let's tell people why Silver Man was different. I mean, they touted themselves as the hardest or full distance race in the world.
Yeah, there's 10,000 feet of climbing in the bike. Mm-hmm. And I think there was close to 5,000 in the run, maybe.
That's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in the desert.
And there was probably climbing in the swim, but...
Maybe. Yeah, it was a brutal event.
And it was Lake Mead when there was water. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was like, well, I love to climb. And everybody, I think people know that I love to climb. If there's climbs, I want to climb.
Interesting.
I don't do well in the downhills, but you give me something, you get Talamina Drive, let's go.
Oh, interesting.
I love that. I love to climb. And if it may not be fast, but I climb.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So this is the race that sparked your interest.
This is the race that sparked my interest.
Okay.
Yeah. So started training for that. We did go out for one training. We went out and did the, what's the race in New Mexico that goes around the Enchanted Circle.
Enchanted Circle.
So we used the Enchanted Circle as one day to learn how, one event to get climbing in with aero bars and things like that. So I took my, at that time, I had the opportunity, Steve Schlegel's shop. Steve was really awesome in helping me get started in triathlons because he helped me with some head wheels, some head tri-spokes. Of course, he had this margarita machine there.
Yeah.
Do you remember the margarita machine?
I remember the margarita machine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He knows how to get people to make big purchases. Uh-huh.
Well, the fun part was Aaron Smathers is the one that taught me how to do bike fits and got me started with Steve. And I believe Aaron may have bought that machine and or had another one and did it as a side business where he would rent out margarita machines.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. We called Aaron Smathers. We called him Smather Off back in the cycling days of the Bacon Racing because he had the big legs and he was a sprinter.
I love it.
So he was Smather Off.
That's awesome. And Schlegel's going to love this episode because he gets excited every time he gets mentioned on a podcast. So
yes. So the margarita machine that day, I was in there and enjoyed some margaritas. Next thing you know, I bought a set of head tri-spokes.
Weird. That was my very first set of aero wheels too. They're the best. They're still like, they still test as like one of the fastest wheels made.
Well, you know anybody who would like to buy a set of 26-inch ones? I have them in my barn right now.
Okay, there you go. Super tubulars.
Tubulars, you know, yeah. Carbon.
Uh-huh. That's the same set I had.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I bought those wheels especially for Silver Man, but then once we got out there, they realized that the winds were going to be really bad that day, so I went with just a spoked on the back, and then in the front, I went with my tri-spoke.
Okay, gotcha.
But... I'm out there, just this normal female. I was in the 50s yet? I think I was in the 50s. Okay. 50s or 40, either. It was in the 45 to 40, probably, 40 to 44.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was in the 40 to 40, 40 to 44 age group. Did the swim, lousy swimmer, get on my bike, and I have this powerful bike split. And I come in, and I must have been one of the top three women. I've never really looked at the numbers because all I remember is the promoter of the race. I get in and I change clothes, put in my little, I loved to run in running skirts then. Skirt sports was my thing, and I loved running in running skirts. So I switched into my running skirt, and here he is following me on the run. Hey, you're doing fabulous. What's your name? And I'm like, I'm Desiree from Oklahoma. And he's like, wow, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Do you need anything? Can I get you anything? I'm like, no, I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
And he's following me. And then, of course, all these women start passing me on the run, and like I never see him again.
Weird. You're just like, man, the service out here is amazing.
It was.
Yeah, until it wasn't.
In the beginning, until it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, when I finished, and I still placed top three in my age group, but still, it was fun to feel special for the first 5 miles.
That's amazing. Man. So you finished, because I think Steve went out and did that one twice, maybe, I think.
Yes.
I think you did that one. Sarah Bell went out and did that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did it the years after I did.
Okay.
Yeah. But had a great, I went out there with Holly Hicks Black.
Yes.
Raced with her. Yeah. Okay. And so that was the year that I went.
Gotcha.
And it was fun. It was really fun. So I got an iron distance down my throat.
That's a tough one, too.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
So did you continue to do the full distance or did you?
No,
like,
that was my last one.
Yeah.
I think it was time to move on.
So you only did multi-sport for a short time.
Short time.
But you've been involved with multi-sport for many years after that.
Well, I went into Xterra's.
Yeah.
Xterra was becoming really, really, really big back then.
That's my favorite.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Steve had got me into a Cannondale bike. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing some Xterra's. Actually, if people don't know this, the first actual Xterra race was put on in Louisiana. That first one was down in Louisiana.
Interesting.
And it was put on, I should have remembered his name, but he actually started off-road triathlons in this area.
Interesting.
And so that was the first one. So I went down there and met up with some people that did in Xterras. So I got involved in Xterras.
Mm-hmm. And for people that don't know what an Xterra is, it's a triathlon, but it's off-road. So the swim is depending. It's usually around a 1500 swim. So it's usually like an Olympic length distance triathlon swim.
You always do two laps. Remember, yep. You always have to get out.
You always have to exit. So you have a two lap swim. So you'll run across the beach in between your two laps, usually. And then your mountain bike is roughly 12 to 15 miles, roughly, but it'll take about the same time-wise as like an Olympic length triathlon, roughly. And then you'll have a 5K, usually trail run is how an Xterra works.
Yep.
So it's a triathlon, kind of a mix between a sprint and Olympic distances, but takes about the same as Olympic length, but it's all off-road.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought I'd try that. There was a lot of races. There were some regional races, some local races. Mm-hmm. I actually decided to be a race director, and I did a couple of them down at Lake Murray.
You say there was some down by Ardmore, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I race directed that for a couple of years because I actually was able to get on the Xterra ambassador team for Oklahoma.
Oh, gotcha.
So while I was racing Xterras, I represented this region.
Mm-hmm. I wish there was more. I mean, I understand. I've gone to a bunch of them, and they're just the participation's really low, unfortunately. Yeah. But man, they are so fun. I can't believe more people don't do them.
It would be neat to bring it back. I don't know why it got, you know, it just went down. It's like gravel right now. Yeah. Gravel is like the thing.
Right.
And in road racing and all these other things. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I went to Joe Martin stage race this weekend. The numbers were so low for the amateurs. For the crit when we were there watching. So, you know, everyone's gravel is big. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just that time the where cycle. Everybody was had mm-hmm. bit the Xterra bike or whatever. So
yeah, I wish it would come back because the years that I did, it was a handful of years ago, maybe like mid-teens probably. Mm-hmm. And there was quite a few races in Texas, but those were the closest one.
Right.
And then Dallas was the closest one. And then Tri-OKC did one at Thunderbird two or three times the past couple of years, but the participation's really low. I don't know if they're going to bring it back or not, but yeah, they've kind of all just dried up. Like Arkansas had a couple and now they've kind of dried up and yeah, it's too bad.
I don't know. Well, Fred Phillips was the one that did all the Xterras in Arkansas and Louisiana, that first one.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if it's because it's so expensive to run. I don't know.
It's too bad.
I mean, maybe if you can get insurances that's less expensive, then you can have these races and bring it back to a fee that we can afford.
Right.
I think that's what's keeping me away. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, being at the Memorial Marathon and seeing what Gabriel has done, I understand why race fees are so high. Mm-hmm. And I hope people can understand that. The amount of money they have to pay for security, for police officers and everything. There's a reason why that entry fee is in the hundreds of dollars. Yeah.
For sure.
You know, you can complain, but then when you see the safety that we have in these events, I can see
people
why.
People aren't getting rich off of it.
No, they're not. You know, and the majority of the money for the Memorial Marathon goes back to, because the memorial is not a government subsidy.
Right.
What people go in covers the employees and everything.
And they got to have 15,000 people to make a tangible amount of money.
Yes,
so when
they
you have
do.
300, you ain't making any money. Yeah.
So it would be fun to bring those back. And it'd also be fun. I'm going to go side note here. Cyclocross.
I know.
I mean, I'm going to share a little bit of that too. Well, but good. Dang.
Yeah.
What happened to cyclocross?
In the Oklahoma City area, that's completely dried up and gone away. I think in Tulsa, they still have a decent group.
Yeah.
Because I think Tanner does a really good job up there. But here, it's completely dried up and gone away.
But Chris Drummond was big in that. And Sheridan was big in that.
Yep.
So I'm segueing here.
And Malott and Tony and all those guys were the ones putting it on. There was somebody else. He was a local guy, a national champion guy. And he's
Paul Bonds?
Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul helped set up the courses and do all that stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
Back on track.
Maybe
we can do that.
Maybe back on track.
So, with Xterras, I really had this dream.
So, were you mountain biking at that time?
A little bit. Okay. Yeah, a little bit. I actually did some small races. I didn't know about the Tour de Dirt then, but I did do a few Tour de Dirt races then.
Okay.
There was only a handful of women then. Meredith Day from Tulsa. There was only a few women racing then. Nancy, I can't think of her last name, but Nancy was a big racer then. So the Cat 1 women. So I raced against it was small again, small numbers, women.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Xteros, I decided I really wanted to go. World Championship was in Maui.
I was going
to
ask, did you qualify for Worlds?
Yes, but I had to travel to do that because back then it was so competitive. If I wanted to make it to Worlds, I had to qualify.
Which that on a side note, that's the way it should
that's
be.
That's the way it should
it's
be.
It's not the way it is anymore. But that's
so
the
what
way
I did
be.
Is I went down to Oak Mountain. Is that
in Alabama?
Alabama. Uh-huh. That was the qualifying. There was the regional qualifier for our region, mm-hmm. and they take the top three in each age group, but. If someone had already placed top three in that age group, then it would roll down. So if a woman had already qualified in my age group, then if it went to fourth, fifth, and sixth. But right. at that time when I went, all the women that were there hadn't qualified yet. So I had to qualify. And at that time, I'm single. I'm traveling by myself. I don't have money. What do? I get a tent. It's 70, 80 degrees at night. I'm sweating all night thinking, how in the world am I going to be able to do this race the next day? I borrowed a bike rack from Brandon Malott.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so I could get down there and sleep in this tent and have no idea how I'm going to do. Well, I wound up, you don't know who your competition right. is in triathlons. So you just, if you see a girl in front of you, you just go as hard as you can. And mm-hmm. I wound up getting that last qualifying spot in the run because
so cool.
I out-sprinted this girl for the qualifying spot.
Oh, my gosh.
And kind of felt bad because I went around her and then wound
only
up.
Only you would feel bad. You, yes.
I know. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the thing is I know you did. That's what's so funny. It's like, this is really cool for me, but man, I'm so sorry.
I hug you.
Yeah, I know. That is you.
Because we both make it to we go to the tent and get our IVs because we're both dying because it was a very hot day that day.
Right.
And then we start talking. And so, so I got a qualifying spot for the World Championships in Maui.
Which is a brutal event.
Yeah.
Brutal, brutal, brutal event.
I had no clue.
Oh, yeah.
And they almost canceled the swim at the World Championships because of all the man-o-wars.
Oh.
There was this big outbreak of man-o-wars. So the day before, they were concerned they might have to cancel the swim, but the man-o-wars took off. So we had the swim. And then in the bike, of course, I had to ship my bike over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to put my bike back together. Well, I didn't put my crank arm on tight enough.
Oh,
it was the last 3 or 4 miles of the race. My crank arm falls off.
Oh, no. Like completely off?
Completely falls off.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I'm having fun. I'm going to have fun no matter what.
Right.
So I'm single, spinning, and I put my crank arm in the back of my ass, in the crack of my ass.
So, hold on. Just put this picture. You have one crank is still on.
Yeah.
So you're pedaling with that one,
uh-huh.
and you have a...
Crank
sticking
ass.
Out of your butt. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Were you off the big climbs at this point?
Yeah.
Okay,
we finished
good.
All the Haleakala climb.
Okay.
And we were down in towards the sections of the lower
down
area before you went to the finish.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my
and so
gosh.
I'm finishing and yeah, and I get on the
is.
Run and I have fun.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I meet so many people. I mean, you're at the World Championships.
Mm-hmm.
There's Chinese people there. There's Japanese. There's Swiss. There's Germans.
It's like a legit World Championship.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you just have fun.
Yeah.
And I finished and
just finishing that event is massive accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it may not be like long in distance, but whenever you're climbing like crazy mountains in a rainforest and it's 95 and 95% humidity and just the terrain is treacherous.
Yes.
I've watched it numerous times. And in all honesty, like when I was doing this, I had conversations with Smoke and several other people. I was like, if I qualify, I have no interest in going. It looks awful.
You just go and you have fun.
No, I don't think it would be fun. We have different definitions of fun. Nothing about that course looks fun. No.
Well, the national championship was in Lake Tahoe. And I did do that a couple of times.
Okay.
And the enjoyment of swimming in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
But the thing is that it's so cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like maybe a half a mile run to transition.
Just to warm you up.
To warm you up. And they do that intentionally.
That's crazy.
And then you start that climb. And
so you must have dominated the races around here then.
I was a terrible swimmer.
Which
I was a great cyclist. I was a terrible runner.
But if you're going to be at any of those combo for Xterra, that's the right combo. The only problem is you come out in the middle of the pack on the swim and you have to fight. You don't get to like let it loose because you're
right.
fighting through so many people
exactly.
on the trail. That's the because I'm not a good swimmer. And that's where I struggled because you have mm-hmm. to pass so many people on the bike.
Yep.
You can never get out of it.
And my running was just never on top.
Yeah.
I never had that. I wasn't a great runner. And what I learned about is you should actually really train on the disciplines that you're not good at.
Mm-hmm.
But since I was a better cyclist, I'd rather do all my cycling training.
More fun.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding.
Suck stuff sucks.
Yeah. Well, for those out there, you got to train on the disciplines that you suck.
Unfortunately, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that, you know, and then that I got to the point where I just didn't want to do X-Stairs. I did what I wanted to do. Uh-huh. You make these goals, you make these dreams, and once you accomplish what you did, it's time to move on. Well, what's next?
Yeah. So what was next?
Oh,
because now we're up
God.
Into like the early 2000s.
To early 2000s. Uh-huh.
You've done.
That's got to be.
You've done triathlon. You've done your Xterra. You've done your trail running.
Oh,
you've
man.
Dominated the road. Did you? Is this when you got into cyclocross or was that?
Well, we did. Yeah. Cyclocross.
And you were still race directing in triathlon.
Yeah, I actually raced. I was the Martin Okarchi.
Uh-huh.
Randy Sadler was getting married. Mm-hmm. I set him up with Amanda. Thank you.
Oh, look at you, little matchmaker.
Oh, yeah. I remember that day. I was in the swimming pool. And I said, Amanda, I talked to Amanda. I said, I know someone who's warm for your form. And she goes, well, who's gosh. That? And I was like, it's Randy Sadler. Next thing you know, they're getting married.
Worked out well. Good for him. Mm-hmm. He owes you something. Yeah.
So, I decided to, he asked me if I'd take over the Martin Okarchi as the race director. And we were planning the hoodie, or not the hoodies. Well, what it was is the hoodies became my idea. I was saying, Randy, I want you to help me with the logo. So mm-hmm. he wanted to keep the Cocopellis.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept the Cocopellis, and that was his trademark. And I said, I want to do something for everyone. I started the hoodies.
I love the hoodies.
And this, are the hoodies still going on?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, still going.
You ran out of colors.
Oh, we're back to, this year was bright red. It's the first time I've done it in forever because I still have them from years ago.
Yeah.
That's what I wear around the house. I love them. They're the
that
best.
That is so sweet.
And so this year they were bright red.
Bright red.
Uh-huh. They've had some terrible colors, by the way.
Okay.
Because there's only so many hoodie colors.
There's only so many hoodies.
Yeah.
And I always had a hoodie for the athletes, and I had a hoodie for the volunteers.
Yeah. I love the hoodies.
And I had a friend who did engraving, so I had everyone do the monogramming mm-hmm. of their names for the volunteers. I was just always, I wanted to give back to the volunteers mm-hmm. for all they
I
did.
Mean, for people that don't know, Martin Okarchi is a duathlon in Okarchi, and that's what starts the season for Oklahoma. I mean, even for Tulsa and everything, like that's the first event of the year that has any relevance, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Is it still 5K, 30K, 5K?
Uh-huh.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's great.
Yeah.
They repaved the road. The road is beautiful now. It's awesome.
Yeah, I remember when it was.
It was not.
No. Now, do they still go out west and then mm-hmm. turn north?
Nope. It's just now and back.
Wow.
You go almost to where you would turn north. So maybe it's like 19 miles, 18 miles, something like that. So it's right before the dead end.
Yes.
You turn and come back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the run is still the exact same turnaround.
Goes into the housing addition north and around.
And out that little road and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Turn around the top of the hill and come back.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Still the same event.
Do they
as
still have
been.
The volunteers from that little home that's out there?
Mm-mm.
The family of love,
yeah,
I think it's called.
That's right there off the start.
Mm-mm. Okay. Yeah. I used to try to get them to come over and volunteer.
Yeah. No, it's still a great event.
Yeah.
It still kicks
good.
Off the year.
Good. I'm good to hear that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, keep those hoodies going,
that's
please.
Right. That's right. For all athletes, keep the hoodies going
because
we
hoodies.
Love them. Yeah. So when did you you transition into what next?
I thinking that cyclocross became pretty, cyclocross was picking mm-hmm. up. I got an opportunity to ride. I rode for with Chris Drummond in Bike One.
Because this would have been like mid-late 2000s, right?
Yes.
Because I started working at Schlegel's like around 2010, and it was hot and heavy then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was able to, I did some cycle. Well, actually, when I first started cyclocross, I was riding for Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
Sheridan had a team of, that's around 2000s then.
Okay.
I graduated from college in 2001, so it was 2001, 2002. Sheridan had a cyclocross team.
Okay.
And he was one of the original teams
mm-hmm.
for Celestial. He opened up Celestial Cycles,
mm-hmm.
and he started a cyclocross team. And we were sponsored by Brown's Bakery,
uh-huh.
and then we had the blue and white jerseys.
Nice.
Miranda Long
uh-huh.
was part, so I actually had a teammate.
Interesting. Yeah,
yeah.
Fun.
Miranda Long
was good.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
and so there was that. That was the time.
Okay.
We got the 2000s right.
So that would have been about actually whenever you were doing Xterra and all that stuff. So it kind of went together.
They kind of went in together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then so there was quite a few training rides here. Sheridan had a ride, and Chris Drummond had mm-hmm. some rides, some training rides that we had on Tuesday or Thursday nights.
Okay.
So got an opportunity to go to national championships in Austin. Didn't place top five, placed top 10. Mm-hmm. And at that time I was getting into, segue back later, but, I started doing single speed is when I really, that was my love, but, mm-hmm. I do both disciplines. I did the age group and then I did the single speed group.
Gotcha.
So
yeah, for people that don't know what cyclocross is, just think about, a mountain bike race ish in a park on something that looks like a road bike, but tires are between a mountain bike and road bike.
Yeah. And cyclocross was the way that the Europeans were staying in shape in the winter to get ready for the spring.
And that's kind of how it got going.
That's how cyclocross got going.
Interesting.
Yeah, because that's the Belgians were using a way.
It's like a crit race, except so miserable.
And it's
so hard.
30, 40 minutes of
hard as you can go. Yeah. With jumping on and off your bike, up and down stairs.
Yep.
Tight turns, sand, all the things.
Chicanes, long climbs, off cambers. Yeah.
It's all of the things. You will get better.
40 minutes of puking your guts out and then you come back and
it's so fun afterwards.
And drink beer.
It's so miserable during. I think the thing that I loved about going, because I didn't do cyclocross early, spectating a good cyclocross race is the best, because it's heckling nonstop. It's what sports should be, because it's all fun. It's all in good spirit. There's so many like goofiness and costumes and just fun things happening around the course.
Whiskey hand ups.
And everyone goes there knowing that it's going to be a party.
Yep.
It's like opposite of everything in cycling, which is wonderful.
And it's enclosed. It's in a park. Mm-hmm. One of the best cyclocross races was when Tulsa, you know, they did all the Tulsa cyclocross races were excellent. Stillwater had a great one.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
so hard.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then back then, no one would bunny hop those. Mm-hmm. But now they're bunny hopping them now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they even did the... cyclocross at Rule of Three.
Rule of Three.
Uh-huh. Did you try to bunny hop?
Are you kidding? No.
I'm
a short person. Uh-huh. No.
Saxby tried. I have it on video.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Gotta see it.
Yeah, it didn't end well.
Oh.
No, that was even better.
Okay, did he endo or did he flip over from this back wheel?
A smidge of both on the second barrier. He made it over the first one-ish. So Saxby's going to listen to this, I know. So he made it over the first one. He caught the back wheel, but he made it, which is good for him for trying. The second one, he did not quite make and over the bars. And I have it all on my GoPro. It's beautiful.
All right. Film at 8.
I'll post it up. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll just do that. So this episode comes out on the first. Go to the Cycling Oklahoma Instagram and you can watch the video. Of Saxby going over his bars.
I'd like to see that.
He's going to be so pumped about
this. I was always
this.
Afraid I was crying. I think about that. I was afraid I have a mortgage to pay and I don't want to get injured.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
And if you get hurt, you can't work.
Yeah. I can't because of my hands.
If I get hurt, I'm going to cry like a baby. So I don't want to try it either. I'm a wuss. Yeah.
But I did. Cyclocross was just only for a few years though.
Okay.
But
I only dabbled in it for maybe like 2 years. And that was the best bike shape I'd ever been in my life. I had Malat coach me.
Oh,
man. And it's so hard.
Oh, yeah.
But man, it's fun.
And he's got a national championship in cyclocross, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
I think him and Drummond have one. And I think Bonds has a couple.
Yes.
I don't know who else around here has. I'm assuming there's a couple of those guys that do.
And I know one girl down in Texas has won a national championship. So that's a tough route to win because most people who win those cyclocross races are from the East Coast. Yeah,
you grow up in that's your thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So kudos to all those that won the Stars and Bars.
But you loved it. You just
I did. I had fun.
But again, just like everything else.
It was time to move on.
I see a really strong pattern here with you, Des. But in the meantime, you had found single speed.
Yes.
That's where it all changed. That's the thing. That's the only thing you've stuck with.
Yeah.
Through the whole journey.
And I learned that. I was in the bike shop and Brandon Malott was working on his bike. And it only has one gear. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Brandon, what is this? And he goes, this is a single speed bike. I'm like, you're really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Brandon is the father of single speed in Oklahoma because he really started doing single speed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that looks like that would be hard. But then again, Corey White was doing single speed because he had bought a single speed niner. And so I'm like, I think I want to try this. It's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And I may not go fast, but I'll have fun. Mm-hmm. And so Wheeler Dealer had built me up a Niner single speed and started doing that route on my mountain bike. And I don't want to quit that.
Really?
I don't.
Why do you? I mean, here's the thing. From someone who's not a single speeder, and I even talked to Corey about this on his episode. You guys all are weird and say the same thing. I don't get it. I like my gears. You did rule of three on a single speed. And during the ride this past weekend, me and Sax, we were talking. I was like, I've used every single one of my gears. Every single one of them. And I have a 2x. And I used all of them. You guys are weird. Why do you make it so much harder than it has to be?
Single speed, it's the simplicity of single speed.
Like just the purity of the sport?
It's one gear. You're either standing up, you're sitting down, or you're walking.
Yeah.
Those are my three gears.
I love that walking's a gear.
Walking's a gear. If you don't... if you're not wanting, you know, you can't go fast on a single speed. Yeah, some people, I mean, Corey, mm-hmm. yeah, he's mm-hmm. blazing fast on a single speed. You can only go so fast. And once you get to that point where you're spinning out, you know, that's as fast mm-hmm. as you can go, and you just ride. Mm-hmm. But the majority of the races that I did on single speed with cyclocross or gravel, mm-hmm. I try to stay as long as I can with a pack, but I'm riding by myself most of the time. Mm-hmm. If a pack comes by, I'll pop on. If I can stay with them, I stay with mm-hmm. them. I can't. So I'm really majority riding by myself.
Such a science to single speed that,
right.
that you, for an outsider looking in, that you have to appreciate, because you have to think about what gear ratios you want to run and exactly. what poison you want to pick for every single course.
Exactly.
So there's a lot more like thinking ahead of time for a single speeder who really cares.
Right.
Which is... Man, that's a whole nother skill set.
Yeah.
You really have to know what you're talking about and doing to be good mm-hmm. at single speed, not outside of the technique, which there's a major technique difference there as well, to clear obstacles and climb certain ways and those kinds of things. But knowing your gearing and your strengths and weaknesses before the race even mm-hmm. start is that's such a skill.
And it's for me, I really truly believe, Ryan, that the strength that I got was from the single speed.
Oh, I could see that
because
for sure.
You have to forces yourself to ride harder in that gear. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I'm on, and I'll bring up Strava because I mean, because if I look at all the accolades I have in Strava, the majority of those on my mountain bike are on my single speed.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Huh.
Yes.
I will say that whenever this was not very long ago, just a handful of years ago. Anytime I would do a race and Dez was there on her single speed, especially a 6-hour race, the goal was to not get lapped by Dez. And I will never forget it. It was at Thunderbird. Not too many years ago that I was like, man, I feel like I'm doing pretty decent today. And it was about the 4-hour mark that you lapped me on your single speed. And I was like, well, every time you need a dose of reality in your life, you get it.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
You say sorry as you like fold over laughing. Uh-huh.
I didn't know.
But when Dez comes past you, lapping you on her single speed, it's ridiculous.
Sorry.
Yeah, you clearly haven't figured
was
out.
Was I your carrot that day?
Well, my carrot was chasing me instead of me chasing it. Golly, sucks. And so disheartening. But
you have to, right. You've got to make sure that you've got the right gear for single speed. So,
and every course is kind of different.
Every course is different. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm a 40-17 at Land Run. I was 40-18 at Gravel World. So you just have these certain gears. You know. Yeah. You know what gear to put on.
Yeah. Okay.
And at
how often do you change them out?
I try to keep standard. I kept 40-17 is my standard.
Okay.
Like even when I'm around training around here and riding, but then it depends on the race.
For a race, you'll
when
change
I went
it.
To Rule 3, mm-hmm. Saturday, I rode a 40-18.
Okay.
And I was I was really grinding a lot. I wasn't mm-hmm. in that cadence that I really like. And so I switched to a 40-19. Mm. And that helped a lot. I was able to really ride well in the sections of the single track. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of really long climbs that I got off. And, and that's the thing is when you ride a single speed, you have to understand that when you get off, you have to not take it personal. and you laugh and you laugh it off.
It's just part of it.
It's a part of it. And you just have the pride. Because everybody's doing it. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if I see if there's a geared person getting off their bike walking, I know that it's probably going to happen to me.
Yeah. You only got off and walked twice at World Three this year?
On a couple of the...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, a couple of the...
That's impressive.
The gravel sections. Now, even those switchbacks on the mountain bike part, if there wasn't a person in front of me, you just have this, you learn how to get up and really move to get yourself up the switchbacks. Mm-hmm. That's it. Hmm. And I know that course so well. I know that once I get to the top, I know it's going to be downhill.
Right.
I know that course. I was riding back 40 with Corey and everyone before the back 40 was the back 40.
Right. Mm-hmm. Before it was the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were riding it when they first opened it up.
Well, since we're on the rule of three, let's just go ahead and say that you got second.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I didn't know that they were going to have a women's category. I thought it was just overall. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just riding, having fun. And I did see the first place girl. She was with her either boyfriend, husband, I don't know, but they were both wearing the same jerseys. Mm-hmm. I saw them on the single track. And I am the type of person that I'm always happy. I'm always cheering people on. I mean, I felt bad when the DNA riders kept having to flat. Mm-hmm. You know, during a race, I'm having fun. I'm talking to people. I'm laughing. I'm encouraging. Because you may not know, and we'll share that story in mountain biking, you may not know if someday that person's going to be your teammate.
Right.
And she caught, her and her boyfriend caught me in the road section, and I never saw him again, but gotcha. I just kept riding.
Yeah.
You just kept riding.
You did great.
Yeah, I thought.
So we'll go back to get back on track. So
okay,
now we're like mid-2000s. You've done your cyclocross. You fell in love with the single speed. Yeah. Is that where we're at?
Essentially going into single speed mountain bike and single speed gravel.
And that's really truly where you found your passion.
Yes.
That's where you've stuck.
Gravel has been my passion. Mm-hmm. Gravel.
Is it your passion for now until there's another shiny, or do you think this is kind of where you're going to land?
This is where I'm going to land because Gabriel and I just bought a gravel tandem.
Oh gosh. Well, you're in for now. Yeah, that's another story. We'll get to that. We talked about that briefly at Rule of Three.
Single-speed mountain bike became my love for Steve and Kate from the Bacon Boys, CRRC, years and years ago in the late 90s, I rode for the CRRC, which is the Canadian River Racing Club.
Yep.
They called them the Canadian Bacon, the Bacon Boys. And I got an opportunity, segueing back real quick, that I got an opportunity to ride with Steve and Kate. And Steve and Kate became a national champion. And he had this beautiful jersey that was stars and bars. And I'm like, how awesome would it be to be a national champion? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what can I do to... How can I become a national champion? Would it be not awesome to just have that jersey, just to get that recognizing? Mm-hmm. And so I started mountain biking, and I found the niche in single speed mountain bike. So in 2017, I'm an endurance girl. Being an older girl, women, as we're young, we're faster. But as we get older, we have that endurance. So longer distances in the first part of it, I get dropped, but I pick up after 30, 40 miles, my speed picks back up. I found that out. I wasn't a real fast person, short. I was endurance.
And that's kind of across the board. I mean, there's a lot of women competing at like top overall levels in ultra running, ultra cycling, all those things, like men or women divisions.
That are in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So I want all the women to know, if they listen to this, that as you get older, you may not be as fast, but you're going to have endurance out the wazoo. But you're also going to have... As the ride goes on and you're in your 30 miles, 40 miles, 50 miles, you're going to get faster.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in the beginning, I'm slow, but I finally, the bell rings, the light bulb comes on, and I'm doing better.
Yeah.
And I have to realize that I can't stay with those big packs early on, and I pick up. But I really wanted to try to see if I could do this. I had this national champion on my mind. Tony Stewart, I said, Tony, I want you to coach me. Can we get this? And he goes, well, you do the work. I'll send you the numbers. I'll send you the coaching. You do the work. Mm-hmm. The first year it was over in Arkansas and,
were you trying for like marathon nationals?
Marathon nationals.
Okay.
Marathon Nationals, because and that this is a category for women and men. It's all age groups. Mm-hmm. So I can
it's open division.
It's an open division. Thank
And marathon and mountain biking, well, I don't know. You can tell me the time cutoff, but it's based on time essentially, right? Is it like a 4-hour race?
They're usually four. It has four to plus. Be over 4 hours or yeah. the distance has to be over 40 miles
okay.
to be an endurance event.
Okay.
And we were luckily to get a national championship in Arkansas.
Yeah.
So the first year I did it, I remember passing the first place gal, and I was like, in mountain biking, you've done it. You can't look back, and you can't think about, oh, I'm going to win this, because you can flat.
Yeah.
You can crash.
Mm-hmm.
Anything
it's
can happen.
It's not over until you cross the line.
Thank you.
Never.
It's never over until you cross the line. So mm-hmm. you've got to, you may think you have it, but you don't.
Mm-mm.
You don't know until you cross the line. And I made the terrible decision of looking back during, there's a section where you're in the mountain bike part, single track, then you're on the road, and you go back into the single track. And when I got into the road section, I looked back and I saw her.
Mm.
So that plays with your mind, because you're thinking she's going to catch you, and your mind can really control you in racing. And I, next thing you know, we're in a double track section, and there she goes, and she passed me. So I got second place that year.
What year was this?
2017.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Yeah, 17, 8. No, 2018.
Okay.
Because 2019. No, 17.
Okay.
17. So I went up and introduced myself to her because I wanted to know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing that I did that, because it was a few years later I was on the same team with her with Sammy Better.
Nice.
So you go and you congratulate these people, and mm-hmm. you want to know about them. I want to know who she is. I want to know who this mm-hmm. girl is that beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next year, Tony really coached me and said, you got to do these numbers. You've got to really work hard for this if you want it. And I was in that situation, but I was in second place, and it was the last couple miles, and I saw the first place gal. And I just ripped through the single track. I didn't know what I was getting into. I just rolled over it. I asked people if I could come through. And you cross that line.
Yeah. So you passed her at the very last second then.
I passed her in the single track section before you went down into the finish line.
That's awesome.
And I asked her, I talked to her afterwards, because I wanted mm-hmm. to find out what gear she rode.
Uh-huh.
And I know why. She probably would have won it if she rode a very, very high, very steep gear.
Mm.
So she was fast in the beginning, and then she wore out at the end.
Yeah.
So I was trying to find out why, because she was an incredible athlete, this mm-hmm. this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried again the next year in 2019, and she lost.
Mm.
So
it's not the same girl that beat you.
No, Carrie beat me the first year, and then I won in 2018. Mm-hmm. And then my friend Karen that rides for Chamois Butter, she rode in 2019 when it was at Paladura.
Okay, gotcha.
So
you got your stars and bars.
I got my stars and bars. And it was the same mm-hmm. year that Brandon got his on single speed.
Uh-huh.
So it was just a beautiful moment.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Beautiful moment.
That's cool.
It's a nice recognition that for the rest of your life, you can put those stars and bars on your mm-hmm. jerseys.
Well, I've seen them on your jerseys. And so I didn't know. I don't remember that happening. So I'm glad you shared that story, because I knew you had won, but I didn't know when and where it had happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. That's awesome.
So it's nice to be able
super
to,
cool.
You know, I'm going in events, and I wear it in gravel and uh-huh. everything else. And people ask me, where'd you get those? And uh-huh. it's nice. It's a humbling thing to say to someone.
For sure.
That, you know, I want it in blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's a recognition that I get to carry on for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's cool.
Go to my grave with
wearing that damn jersey.
Something that Stephen Kane got a bazillion years ago that I wanted so bad.
That's cool.
That I wanted to do.
It came full circle.
It came full circle.
So many years later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you worked for it. It's not like you just got it.
It was not. When you have a coach, you're a coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've coached some people to some accolades, and you know that feeling.
I Alyssa won, when I was coaching her, she won the off-road, the USAT Nationals, and it was the coolest thing.
So you coached her for that?
Uh-huh. It was so
dang,
cool.
I didn't know that.
It was
sweet.
I mean, clearly
Ryan?
She loved it. But I like
Yes.
Being in the back. It's cool.
Do you know what it's like? Oh, being Papa Bear?
It's cool. Super cool. Yeah. You're like,
congratulations.
Nice. Yeah, well, congrats to you.
No, congrats to you. Because you helped her do the
it
work.
It was awesome. Yeah, see? It was awesome. But that's the coaches have the easy part. We get to draw it out, and then you guys go suffer. So,
as Tony would say, you're doing the work.
Yeah, always. So, yeah, it's the athlete that puts in the work and the sweat and the misery.
That's awesome. I did not know that. Alyssa! Yeah. Yes!
Yeah. My lady's killing it in the off-road national stuff.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So are you still trying to compete at that level in the single speed?
Or I can't compete in that level anymore due to my heart.
Mm, gotcha.
Okay. I started noticing... I do a race on Saturday and I try and go do something Sunday, but then I was noticing all these events, all these areas that I was riding really wasn't having that umph of a climb that I used to have. And I decided to go in and have my heart checked, and I've got leaky valves. So the heart doctor said, you know, you're just going to have that infarction rate of where it's the heart is just not bringing the blood up. And that if I wanted to continue to be this competitive lady, valve jobs, all that. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is my time for me to give back, to share it forward, to offer any help I can for people.
Well, so, I think that's perfect timing for you to make that transit from an outsider hearing this. With where women's cycling in the past, like 3 to 5 years in Oklahoma City has gone. And now's a perfect time for people like you to step in and be like, listen, oh, you have these goals. Let me be a woman that can help you with these goals, just like a mentorship or teaching them at the crits, like how to corner. Cause they don't know, cause no one, and it's not coming from a man like telling them what to do, or maybe it's not comfortable to ride with guys or something like that, or to jump into the race that has majority of guys in it. So I think it's a perfect opportunity for you to help these young women cyclists, and maybe not young in age, but young in their athletic age.
Young at heart.
Yeah, young at heart. And because I know a lot of them have got to have aspirations and goals, and but they don't really truly have local women to look up to who have accomplished things, because there's not many. So now may be a perfect time for you to kick ass in that and do that stuff.
I'd like to try that.
You should. I think and you're the perfect personality for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. Well, I mean, Amanda's one of the big proponents of wanting to get you on here. So I know you're making an impact, even if they haven't said something out loud. Don't cry, because you're going to make me cry. Dang it, Des. Stop.
Okay.
Pull it together. You got me all teary. Dang it. Okay. But no, I think that could be a perfect transition in your athletic career.
Yeah, Ryan, but when I was racing years and years ago, I did not have these women out here now. You got Karen, you got Stacy, you got all these women that I did not have. I had to sit on the wheels of men.
Right.
I had to endure that. And when I got to a point in a pack that I was getting ready to get dropped, these guys knew I was getting ready to drop this. Throw me back in the pack. I'd grab a jersey. I had no problem grabbing a guy's jersey.
Right.
I mean, because not only does it make me stay in the pack, it makes them feel good because they're having to work a little harder to get back up to the front. Right. So, you know, if the, and I,
but
I'll
you have a strong
right
woman
now.
Personality to be able to just jump in and do that.
And I would love it. You know, I love these women's rides, like the Thunder Thursday that Karen puts on.
I heard you guys, did you do it last night?
I haven't done it yet. I don't have a purple jersey.
I heard about the ride from last night.
They're killing it.
Crushed it. They averaged almost 19 in the hills. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not many rides around that are faster than that.
And I didn't have that growing up. These girls are so fortunate now.
Agree.
These ladies' rides they have, and the encouragement, and Chad Hodges, and, you know, I didn't have that. It was a wiener world back then.
It sure was. And that really, truly is just now changing.
Yeah.
And it is cool.
So I would love to see more women take that step and go to these rides that have hot zones, because the way to get fast for a woman like me, things change.
I agree.
But if you push that heart a little higher and you get those heart rates for that slow amount of time during those hot zones, yeah, you might get dropped. And I got dropped tons of times.
Everybody does.
Bike lab rides on Saturday. And then what was the one that they had that was all off of MacArthur? It was at Tuesday Worlds?
Yes.
I mean, they had three hot zones. Mm-hmm. It was screw your buddy for those hot zones, but you regrouped. Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like I was able to push myself further than what I could do by myself.
For sure.
And I'd like to see, I mean, it was rare occasions that only a few, Donna Garland, me, just a few women would go to these men's rides. Mm-hmm. And it's intimidating. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got 50 guys and three women. It's intimidating.
For sure.
But the gentlemen the gentlemen want you there because they want you to get faster. And if you start to struggle, they're going to throw you back in the pack. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got, in a nutshell, that's mm-hmm. how I got stronger in my early years, mm-hmm. is I sucked a guy's wheel.
Whoa. Whoa, Des. Uh-huh. Yes. I agree. Yes, and now you have some badass women that can
do it too.
That can dominate uh-huh. a group ride. And I mean, you get second in the single speed at Rule of Three. I think Stacy got fourth overall in the women's at Rule of Three. Like, we have some local badass women around here.
We do. Mm-hmm. And it's going to continue to get even better and better and better.
Totally agree.
I mean, Jennifer White, she goes out to Santa Fe.
She got something in Santa Fe this past weekend. Yeah. Yeah. But she's a non-racer. She doesn't race.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, see, okay.
Ask her.
So if you have that attitude as a non-racer, you podium.
She doesn't. See? She's a non-racer until she gets into a race.
Well, I think mm-hmm. it was awesome.
I think so too. Think yeah, there's a great group of women right now.
Yeah, we've got some good women, and I want to see more of them out there. And
so
there.
You have gotten into to wrap your whole incredible, crazy cycling career up. You found gravel.
Found gravel.
And that's your love.
That's my love.
Okay.
It actually started out in 2014. Maybe 2013.
Okay.
I was riding with Off Camber and Kevin Collins. He's from Wichita. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Collins, I'm sorry, but he is the king of gravel. Gravel, we have to understand that the history of gravel actually started in Nebraska, Kansas, all Missouri, all those areas is where gravel really started. And it was way before Land Run. And when Bobby Wintle came and moved to Stillwater, he had a dream of starting gravel in Oklahoma. And lo and behold, Land Run / Mid-South. Mm-hmm. So Kevin was telling me that he knew that Bobby was getting ready to start a gravel race in Oklahoma. He said, come up here. So I was driving from Hobart all the way up to Wichita on the weekends.
Oh my gosh.
And training with Kevin because nobody in Oklahoma was doing gravel. Mm-hmm. So I wanted, and I met Bob Cummings, and mm-hmm. he's the father of elite teams. Mm-hmm. We'll go later on with that. But I started riding with Kevin Collins. And he told me about Land Run was coming up. And he said, ride with me, and then I'll get you hooked up with some people in Stillwater, and you can start riding gravel with them and training. And so I met Bobby Wintle, I met Crystal, and there started being some training rides, mm-hmm. some secret training rides. Mm-hmm. And I started joining those. And I remember doing one of the first training rides there. And here I am, this girl. Pulls up, everybody, it's all guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm in that, oh shit. And so that's going to be.
Did you have gears?
I had gears then.
Okay.
Yeah. I was riding a Specialized Crux then.
Okay.
And so I rode with the group. They're not, they're like, this woman's going to get dropped. Desiree.
Yeah.
She's
yeah,
not they, letting go.
No.
And I stayed with the group and earned some respect. And so I started going up there and doing a lot of the gravel rides.
That's cool.
And then did the first Land Run in 2014. Mm. And that was the year of the mud.
Oh.
The first year, the last uh-huh. mile 90, I broke my rear derailleur because of the mud.
Oh my gosh.
And I had to drop out. So it was awful to have to make the call of shame.
Yeah, 10 miles short.
10 miles short. Ugh. But got second place the second year, won it 2016.
Yeah, I didn't know you won it.
Yeah,
look
I won.
You,
I
rock
had,
star.
And that was on gears.
Okay.
And then I had the opportunity to ride for Panaracer in 2017. Bob Cummins asked mm-hmm. me if I could be a part of an elite team. Mm-hmm. Which was something that I'll always be grateful for mm-hmm. because Bob sent me to, I did Unbound. I finished the mm-hmm. 200.
Yuck.
Yeah. I got to go to Barrie-Roubaix in Minnesota. I got to go up and do some gravel in Colorado. Old Man Winter.
Uh-huh.
So I got this opportunity. I was full. This is my first. I mean, all these years I've been racing. I got a fully sponsored bike, entries, hotels.
You're living it up.
Living it up. And I was with Rob Bell, Matt Stevens.
Yeah.
I mean, Kai Takashika.
Yeah. You know,
all these, Karen Pritchard. It was a really cool little group of gravel riders.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that opportunity to, but my love was the single speed. And I really wanted to go single speed with Panda Racer. And in their contracts, I guess they wouldn't let me do single speed.
Interesting.
So the next year, Chamois Butter picked me up, and Chamois Butter's three rules are, be nice, promote the product, and wear the kit.
Simple enough.
Yeah. And I got single speed.
And
so I started riding single speed. We were able to convert my S-Works to single speed. Chris Drummond was able to help me with that. And I started doing single speed gravel.
Okay.
And that year at Mid-South, they were actually offering $2,000 for first place single speed woman.
Holy crap. That's a lot of money.
And I heard about it and I was like, okay, I'll just ride, do my ride. I had no clue that I could accomplish winning single speed gravel. I raced, did my race. You know, I got to this halfway point. I didn't know what all women were going to be there, Ryan.
Right.
Yeah, you have
no idea.
And lo and behold, cross the finish line, and Bobby gives me these great big hugs and tells me I won overall.
Shut up. Oh, my God.
In single speed.
There can't be very many people that have won geared and single speed at that event.
I can't imagine. I don't think so.
No.
I won $2,000.
Holy cow. Yeah. Good for
you. God, I hope some tax person's not on there.
I mean.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's
so
awesome.
So I won $2,000.
Good for you.
And thought that was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. The fact that you went and rode your bike and got paid, that doesn't get much better than that.
And I think one of the greatest moments was is that I wasn't riding for Panda Racer then because I didn't get picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire Panda Racer team, when I got off the podium, they were all there for me and giving me a hug.
You're still part of the team.
And Matt Stevens was telling me, goes, you need to get a better kit. Because you have a Chamois Butter kit.
Yeah, they're so bright and crazy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you cannot mistake Chamois Butter kits. Yeah. I mean, it looks just like their package.
Yeah. It looks like their package.
But perfect branding.
Perfect branding.
Uh-huh.
Gravel Worlds in 2014, I had an opportunity to go. And that was the same year as Land Run, first year Land Run. Everyone has to go to Gravel Worlds. You gotta go.
Okay.
Now, back then, and this is in Lincoln, Nebraska, Gravel Worlds back then was a race where you had a postcard as your entry. That was your number. You had to stop at certain areas and pick up lottery tickets. You had to stop at certain areas and pick up little trinkets.
Like beautiful grassroots event.
Darn right. Yeah. And my award that I got was a handmade award that somebody made.
So cool.
And I actually won the Masters that year. And they give world championship jerseys, but what they do is they flip the bars. They flip the rainbow stripes backwards.
Gotcha.
And so that year, I won the Masters women 40 plus that year. And then I got another one. In 2018, I won the single speed.
You won a lot of big events.
I had some fun.
You think?
But I never knew. I didn't know I was winning. You just went out and you just go out, Ryan, and you just do your thing.
No, that's what you do. Clearly
you
it works.
You do your thing. You cross the line and how you do is how you do.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. Man. I had no clue. Just, you know, I'm like, oh, okay.
And so because you've crossed off a bunch of major like bucket list things in a lot of different categories. Is there one or two that are still that you just like, you know what, this one just came on my radar or I haven't achieved this one yet. And I want to like, this is something I really want to like check off.
And I'll admit it. It sucks. But the year I won Mid-South, I call it the Triple Crown of Gravel.
Okay.
You have Mid-South, you have Gravel Worlds, and you have Mid-South Unbound and Gravel Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, I really wanted to win what I would call, for me, the Triple Crown of Gravel. And so I had the single speed, I did Mid-South, got Mid-South, and I got Gravel Worlds. But at Unbound, I wasn't able to finish that year on single speed.
Do you want to go back and do Unbound again?
It's a, I don't know. It's That's different a now.
Brutal event.
At my age, I don't, oh no, I'm not putting up my age. Cross that. Rewind.
Edit.
You know, I would like to, it would be nice to go back, but I don't know if physically I would be able to do that event. Wait a minute. Anyone can do any event they want to do. Do I want to race it?
Right.
Or do I want to ride it?
Mm-hmm.
I'll ride it.
Yeah.
You, any person out there that's listening to this, you can accomplish anything you want to do. Do you want to race it? Mm-hmm. Is it an A race or is it a B or a C race mm-hmm. that you want to finish? So you have to go into that starting line and say, this is my A, B, or C race. And you have to know, am I fit enough to do the A and B fast? Or am I doing this for training or for learning?
Right.
So it would be a learning thing for me.
Yeah.
It would be to finish. Yeah. I don't even know if I can get in. It's all lottery now.
Mm. Yeah.
So I don't know if I could get in.
Gotcha.
May not be able to finish by sundown.
Yeah. Yeah. That race is just, and it's just going to continue to get wilder and wilder. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
So, you know, now it's just about having fun. But I've been having fun for 38 years.
It sounds like you've had a lot of fun. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, maybe you guys can go do your tandem there.
Yeah, because Gabriel seems to think the only way to get on the podium is on a tandem now. Yeah,
he lets you ride hard and he steers. Brilliant man, in my opinion.
I love the tandem. You just sit on the back and you just have fun. And I get to talk to people and giggle and laugh, and he's up there shifting gears.
And he's doing all the technical work.
He's doing all the technical work.
And you're just pushing power.
And he takes some corners that I'm just like, oh,
no.
But
mm-mm.
He does really well on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we bought a salsa powder keg, and we love it.
So now you're doing tandem stuff. Now you got the van life going.
Got the van life.
Uh-huh. You're just enjoying. Yes, get a van. You're just enjoying all the fun things now.
I am.
Yeah, good for you.
Nice.
I love it.
Thank you.
Is there anything that we haven't covered?
Gosh, no. Just all I know is I want to tell everyone to just have fun. If you're out there smiling and having a good time, you're going to do better than what you think you're going to do.
I think you represent that really well. Very, very, very well. All right, Des. Now's the really important, hard-hitting part. And
okay,
you know what's coming. It's the yard sale.
Yard sale. Cha-ching,
cha-ching. Exactly. And I have another new question for you.
Ooh.
So that we always start off with everyone. Your favorite piece of equipment under $100.
Tire plugs.
Oh. Do you go old school bacon strips or do you use the fancy stuff now?
Well, the Ryan, I'm not bragging, mm-hmm. but rarely I have bacon strips from years ago still in my bike on my bike. I haven't tried the new plugs that are metal.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But I've had the opportunity. Very, very rarely have I ever had to use tire plugs.
And when you have to use them,
you got them.
Yeah.
And I've been blessed to not. I'm. This is a plug. I don't know, but Panaracer tires. I've been racing them since 2014.
Mm.
I've been racing gravel slingers since. You know, and I know there's tons of tires out there, but I have had the best luck with Panaracers.
Okay.
Not because I raced for them, but I was racing them before I got on the team. But the gravel, I rode 35s at Rule 3.
35s, really?
But that's me.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going through some of that stuff, I'm a little cautious.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to put trust in your tires and you just, yeah. Now, I rode 38s for other bigger events, but 35s
are my... But still, that's fairly narrow, especially in today's standard, that's really narrow.
It's very narrow. Huh. Have I been fortunate? Have I been lucky? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, tire plugs. Have
tire
them.
Plugs.
Uh-huh. Okay. Tire plugs.
And know how to use them.
And you can actually use them on sidewalls, too. If you have a sidewall tear, there's those bigger ones that you can double.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Okay. That's a good answer.
It's tire plugs.
What's the hardest event you've ever done?
Ooh, I've done some bike packing.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even get into that chapter.
We didn't.
No.
Karen and I went to, I'm going to go with bike packing because Karen and I went to, we went to Lake Tahoe and we did the Tahoe Twirl. It was during COVID, and it was in August, which reminds me that why tire plugs and sealant and all that is great. But I did single speed because
of course, why wouldn't
speed
you?
Bikepacking.
Why wouldn't you make it harder on yourself? Climb up mountains. You're nuts.
It's simple. I was afraid I'd break a derailleur.
Well, you're definitely not going to do that. I mean, you might break your legs off, but not your derailleur.
Some of those sections of the Tahoe Twirl on the single track side were really, really hard. And Karen and I were both walking them. And if Karen's walking it, then you know it's going to be triple hard for me. Mm. And you're carrying, you've got 50 pounds on your bike. And
how many days did you guys bike?
I believe we did, it was 4 days.
Okay.
But the last 10 miles, I broke my chain.
Oh, my gosh.
And thank God, Karen, sweetest gal ever. The links that I had, I always ride 8-speed chains on my single speeds because they're beefier. You don't have, they don't break. Mm. They're beefy, they're heavy, but they don't break. Well, when I took it into the bike shop, they put a 9-speed chain on. Mm. They didn't tell me. And I should have known, Desiree should know that it was a 9-speed chain, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. It was my problem. But when I broke the chain, I'm sitting down trying to change the link. And I realized I don't have an 8-speed link.
Oh, no.
And so I look at Karen. I said, Karen, you're going to have to tow me in. And so I grabbed Karen's jersey.
For 10 miles.
She towed me in.
Oh, my word. So I think we know Karen's answer to hardest ride she's ever had. Golly.
Yeah, I'd say that bikepacking trip was one of the hardest things I've ever done. It was hot. It was overly hot that year.
On that same thing, what's your favorite place you've ever ridden? Because you've ridden in a lot of cool places.
I didn't even get into that, but I'll remember. I actually did the Cactus Cups. Early 90s, the Cactus Cups had these events where it was called Specialized Cactus Cups, and they were mountain bike events, and there were stage races, mountain bike stage race. Didn't even talk about that. Oh, mm-hmm. Well.
You've done too much.
I've done too much. So there was a stage race that was in Canada. It was in British Columbia, wow. Canada. It was a stage race, and I was doing all the Cactus Cups events. I'm going to get a drink. the first Cactus Cup was in Arizona.
Okay.
And then I went over to Illinois and did one. And then I wanted to go up to Canada. And the downhills were so brutal there. The steepness was so awful. But it was beautiful.
Mm.
It was in British Columbia.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to go up and do the BC, I don't remember what it's called. It's like a 7 or 8 day stage race there.
Is it gravel, mountain bike?
Mountain bike. It's like the Breck Epic, except in BC. It's outside of Whistler, I believe. I cannot think of the name of it.
Wow.
But it looks, they say it's uber hard, like technical because of all the wet roots. So maybe it's either in around Whistler, it's on Victoria Island. Maybe in Victoria Island, but because everything is really mossy and wet and super techie because of all the roots.
Okay.
But I think it's like a 7 or 8 day stage
race. That's some techie stuff. I would definitely have to, I don't know. Wow.
Yeah.
Something new, but bikepacking has really got my niche now. I love gravel, but bikepacking is.
Are you going to do the divide?
Is
that too much?
There's actually the Eastern Divide that I almost, have you heard about the Eastern Divide?
I haven't heard about this.
There's a guy from Chamois Butter that actually did the Eastern Divide, and it's along the East Coast. And goes through the Smoky Mountains and all that.
Interesting.
I think I would enjoy the Great Divide until I got past Colorado. But once I got into New Mexico, I don't know if that terrain is something I really.
But then you're almost done.
That's true.
Yeah. Then you just suck it up. It's just one state.
Okay. You could maybe on a tandem.
Oh, my God. It's a terrible idea. Oh, why do you have terrible ideas? So we're going into that. Do you have a bucket list event that you've like, this would be so cool to do? You may not ever do it, but like you have one event that you haven't checked off yet that you want to do?
It's some of the bikepacking stuff that I've seen on bikepacking.com. Mm.
You want to go to like another country and do a big cool
route? I would love
to go
to another country.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one?
That one in Iceland that Jackie went to. Mm-hmm. I think that would be cool to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I, you know, bikepacking's really, have you done a bike?
Just a couple of times. And I've only done like one nighters, two nighters. Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's completely different.
Gabriel, Stacy, and Karen and I did the Monumental Loop in New Mexico. That was
not too long ago. Yeah, I followed along on that adventure.
Yeah, and then Katie McGuire ships her bike to El Paso, pulls her bike out of her bag, and she goes out there and does it.
That's awesome. Man, so, that lady has done some wild
rides. Now, that girl, you need to interview.
I would love to. She's done some wild rides.
Yeah.
During COVID, is that when it happened?
During COVID, yeah.
She went off.
She got like a year's severance package.
Yeah, just said, screw it, I'm riding my bike.
What do you do with the year's severance package? Bike bag!
She did. She made the most of it. What's your dream bike? Clearly, it's not going to have a derailleur on it. Is it a gravel bike? Is it a mountain bike? Dang. Is there one that you would love to build one day?
I've been eyeballing the Canyons.
They're tough to beat. I know my local bike shops are not going to like to hear that, but
yeah,
they make great products.
They're a pretty bike.
They are pretty bikes.
But I've got 8 Specialized bikes.
Oh my gosh. Well, you
and one Freddy.
Then you need one more. Now you need a 10th.
N plus one.
And then you need a 10th, and you need it to be a Canyon just to shake things up.
It was so hard for me to get rid of my bikes, but I finally, Gabriel got me a Tarmac for my birthday.
Mm.
And I needed to sell my Amira. Mm-hmm. Like, Gabriel's like, you've got to get rid of a bike. And I'm like, darn it. So I actually sold a bike and Mackenzie's riding it now.
Oh, nice.
And it's nice to see her out there riding it. Uh-huh. She's crushing it.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful, Specialized. So yeah, I actually sold a bike.
I love it. If you could go on a bike ride and you can be one with one person or it could be with maximum of 4, dead or alive, who would it be? And clearly it would be a bikepacking trip for you.
Well, it could be any. If I bikepacked, it would, I can't even, oh, I'm thinking of her name. I can't think of her name. She lives up in Idaho. Maybe it'll hit me in a
cyclist.
Minute.
Cyclist?
Okay. Well, let's go with, there's a cyclocross rider, not Wout Van Aert, but the other one that's really good.
Cyclocross?
He does cyclocross mountain biking.
Not Van Aert or...
His nemesis.
I just went blank on his name, too. Holy cow. Because I love him.
I love him, too. No.
Vanderpool.
Yes. Uh-huh. I want to ride with Vanderpool because I like to follow him a lot, and I watch his style.
Mm-hmm.
I watch his... when he was riding mountain bikes, his form... And when I'm going down, swooping down hills, mm-hmm. I stand up and I picture myself as mm-hmm. Wout. And I'm just going down these hills, just like he does. He's still swooping single track sections.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to ride with him.
Okay.
Even though I probably couldn't talk to him.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes it's better to watch. Uh-huh.
Golly, I think that's the only guy.
Rebecca Rausch, is that who you're talking about?
Well, people thought I was Rebecca Rush when I go to Unbound. They were like, hey, Rebecca. I'm like, what?
Just go with it. Just take pictures, like, sign autographs. Yeah, then make their day. It's fine. You should. Just own it. She has a big event up in Idaho or Montana or somewhere up there that she puts on.
Rebecca's Private Idaho.
Yeah.
That you think about it. Yeah,
That'd be a good one. That'd be cool. I forgot my off-the-cuff question that I was going to ask you. Let's do last one. Advice to a new rider, a new female rider wanting to get into gravel or mountain biking. What's advice that you would give them?
Positive attitude, smile, laugh, have a good time. Strava has been important to a lot of people, and they look at those numbers and they think that they're not fast. Strava has good and bad things. Strava makes people push because they see these segments and they want to go harder in those segments, and it's good. But I don't want people to feel like they need to do their thing. I want you to do what makes you happy. It takes 5 years, and I learned this early on. It takes about 5 years to develop that oomph, that final. You got to work yourself up in cycling. You can't immediately, maybe some people can, Ryan, tell me who can immediately start it out. Mm-hmm. And that was at the top of their form, mm-hmm. right in the beginning. Because if you do that early, then you're always going to set those goals that you've got to be top of the form all the time. And I suffered that when I found out about my heart. I was thinking, I'm not that I'm not top anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to let that go because you're not always going to be on form. You're mm-hmm. not always going to be the best if you think you're the best. And I've never thought of me being the best. I just had fun, Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't think that.
I played.
Yeah. But that turned out to be that you were the best, essentially.
I don't want to think that.
But let's look at it this way. That's what's so wonderful about you, Des, is that it's always been one of those things where you're always just smiling and happy. And you're just like, I don't know. I'm just here to ride bikes. I just want to play bikes and hang out with my friends. But inside you're like, I mean, I'm going to crush you, but I love you. And I'll talk to you afterwards and we'll hug and we'll laugh. But I'm going to crush you, but we're going to smile while I crush you. That's always been your spirit, which has always been wonderful.
You're going to have great days. People out there, you're going to have great days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have sucky days. But just have fun.
It's been an awesome journey.
And that's how you'll do this for the rest of your life. I mean, I'm 60 years old. I want to be 70. I want to be 80. And I still want to be doing this. Mm-hmm. And I may not be at the top of the form, but I'm out there having fun.
Mm-hmm. You'll be that little old lady that they're like, did you see that old lady out there? What the hell? Did you see that 80-year-old woman on the single speed, like at rule of three? What is going on over there? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be you. I love it. Is there anything else you want to wrap up with? Because I think that's a pretty perfect place.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing your story. Still a lot to go.
I do. I got a lot. Still to go. Is round two's coming up.
Oh, goodness. Round two. This is round one. It's a hell of a round one. Oh, my gosh. All right, Des.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time to share your story.
Thank you for your time.
A lot of women that could use your insight and a lot of men that could use your insight. And definitely there's a lot of people that could use your spirit. So thank you for always being happy.
May I say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
There are many people out there that I mentioned today, but, you know, I couldn't have had these great rides without all these people that supported me and pushed me and kept me going. You know, yeah, I pedaled it, but when you have a circle of people that really are your circle, they'll get you through anything. And thank you to everyone.
That's perfect. Thank you, Des.